Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. One of our favorite people, Quint Studer, is joining us now. He's got a new book coming out, and I always love having a chance to hang out with a guy who's had such a shaping influence on so many different institutions here in Pensacola, including the architecture and the sports scene, and of course, a mentor to our current mayor, D.C. Reeves. So, you know, I mean, a little bit of an influence that Quint has had on our community. Quint, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, thank you, Andrew. It's so nice you have me.
Always good to have you. I did want to start before we talk about your book, and of course we want to talk quite a bit about your book, but you had a very sad news note last night. Your mom passed away at the age of 98. Is that right?
Yeah, at 10:42 last night.
Oh, goodness.
She passed
wow.
away, so.
I'm so sorry. I mean, that's just... you know, she's had a full life, obviously, but still, that's just, you know, that's always a difficult thing.
It is. It's always, we were talking, my oldest son from Wisconsin was in town. We're talking just yesterday on the way home, actually, from, he was in Covenant Care Hospice, and we were there most of the time that Mallory was there, right almost when she passed, and we just came back for a little bit, and then they called and told us, so we went back, of course, last night to spend, you know, private time with her, but, yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, when anybody passes away at a certain age, people think it's, and if they're right, it's a full life.
Right.
Still, I even woke up this morning and I said to Rishi, I can't believe if, you know, my whole life I've been able to call my mother. She lived next door to us, been able to see her. And so, you know, it's like those things that we just don't even take those. I know when I lost my sister, I went to my parents' house and the phone rang and I noticed my sister who did their answering machine for them answered, you know, as she was on the machine. And it's just those things you don't take off. I still have people in their address book of my phone who have passed away because it's just hard to believe they're not available, not around. But last night, most of the night, in fact, I found some videos that she had made. And she made a lot of videos for the Wahoos.
Oh, okay.
She'd be really mad. So I'd videotape her and send it to the manager. And they'd get a real kick out of it. They'd have a lot of fun out of it. And, yeah, she loved Pat Kelly, the manager, for
so many years.
And when he went to the – of course, he was with the Reds. So when they switched to Chattanooga, they came in and beat us. And she – I taped her doing a video saying she's glad he's in town, but not to beat us. And, yeah, she's very competitive. She didn't like to lose.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm actually going to play. You posted on your Twitter account last night this just a snippet of a video with your mom, just so people get a chance to hear. That you'll immediately recognize,
please.
I think, a bit of where Quint gets his energy and his attitude from.
I am surely everything. I can do most anything. I can dance and I can sing, because I am surely everything.
Obviously I did not know her, but see, what a lovely woman.
and that was her 98th birthday. So
wow.
That was 10 years ago. She had a great quick wit. In fact, when she was in the Covenant Care and Sacred Heart Hospice Respite Unit, one of her great nephews who lives in this town now, since he came to see us, liked it so much, stayed with his wife, Aunt Shirley, you look beautiful as ever. And she immediately said, it's dark in here.
That's very much that Midwestern sensibility. That's great.
Yeah.
I love it. And, you know, you're so right. When you know, I mean, my mama passed quite a while ago. And the thing that even to this day always strikes me is that entire library of knowledge about me is gone. You know, like that you mentioned, you know, your ability to call her up and she knew your whole life and everything about you, good and bad, you know, but that you don't have access to that anymore. I'm curious, you know, I know the, you know, the book is your columns over the years, but I did want to give you a chance to say, you know, what sort of leadership lessons, what sort of life formation lessons did you learn from your mom that have, you know, kept you through all these years and, you know, guided you?
I think we pick up a little from everyone. You know, we pick up things from our parents. My mom probably used a sense of humor.
Mm.
My mom had, you know, everybody called her a quick wit. And she had a good sense of humor. And sometimes, though you don't want to lighten a situation that shouldn't be lightened, sometimes you need a little humor. just to take a little edge off, I was talking to a CEO of an organization, and we were looking at some of his results. And he did some really analytics. He's 13,000 employees, 800 people in leadership. And we divided them up by their employee engagement results. So many, if you're under 50%, you're at 50 to 89 or above 90. And he had a number of leaders below 50%. And
oh, wow.
You could see everybody was a little disappointed. And he said, you know, hey, and just think how good we are with, but he did it in a way, it's like, hey, look how good we are with this. And imagine when they get better. But he did it in a humorous way. So I think sometimes humor can take an edge off a situation or make things a little more comfortable. And I don't mean nasty humor. I don't mean sarcastic humor. I just mean, you know, humor like her saying to Pat Kelly, she liked to have it in town, but she sure didn't like the fact that Chattanooga beat us, those types of things.
You bet. And I mean, there's a sense in which humor can bond us to people and, you know, show that we understand each other's experiences and, you know, express a kind of solidarity, especially through pain or through difficult things. That's one of the great sources of humor. Quint, we're talking to Quint Studer. The book is Sundays with Quint. We'll come back to him in just a second. Candy's out today, but Gracie has traffic on the fives.
Our roads are looking good right now with no major slowdowns. We do have an accident off of North New Warrington Road. That's going to be a roadblock in the area. That's just north of North Navy Boulevard off of Twin Oaks Drive. So not a lot of slowdowns because of it, but just keep that in mind that there is a roadblock in that area. Other than that, we're looking good. And if you see something, give me a call to the traffic line. I'm Gracie with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Gracie. Back to Quint Studer. The book is Sundays with Quint. And Quint, this is, I don't mean to be presumptuous, but in some ways, as a book, this is the easiest book you had to write, right? Because it's a collection of pre-existing columns that you wrote for the Pensacola News Journal.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Right? Yeah. It wasn't easy to write because we could say it took 7 years. But in reality,
right.
We didn't have to worry about editing. We didn't have to worry about sometimes when you write it, you know, you're always making sure that you give people sources, you know, you always have to be very careful about trademarks, things
yep.
like that, that people might not normally think about. But so we already knew that it was all, nope, there wasn't going to be any issues. Nobody was going to say, oh, I didn't like this or this wasn't right. I mean, and so, yeah, so it was, the hard work was by Lisa of the News Journal because we had over 300 something articles.
Yeah.
And I truly told her, I'm so close to it and I see maybe a different stuff. She's got to manage a staff, and it's really written, I think. Well, I wrote it really because there's so many new people in leadership.
Yeah.
There's so many new people, even in our community leadership, there's so many new people, new supervisors. About almost 40% of people today in supervision are either new to the job in the last 3 years or because of resignations have a new leadership job in the last 3 years. So
yeah.
I always write my books for those middle managers, those early supervisors. But so I sent to a CEO, and I said to him in the card, I said, here's the book. And I said, it's a great book for early careerists and supervisors. And he wrote back and said, Quint, I've read it. It's a great book for everyone. But I think everyone, you know, my goal with books is not to make people feel stupid, not to make them feel bad, to help people feel better. And then how people feel better is, one, to know I'm not alone. Hey, gosh, other people struggle with the same stuff I'm struggling with. And the second thing is people, I think there's so many people that write about the problem. Well, yeah, we all can write about the problem, but what's the solution?
Right.
So I always want to leave a few tips at each column and some tips that, okay, now that you know this, what do you do? I find if we identify a problem, we have a human responsibility to also search for a solution.
No, that's great. And I think, you know, for mine, my perspective on this book, there's 52 chapters, so 52 columns, so you could read it one chapter a week. And I would really recommend, I hope I'm recommending what you would recommend, which is read one a week. Don't read more than one. Read that one. Think about that and manage through that during the week. Lead with those things in mind during the week, because I think the value of this is – you know, so much of the time you get into a habit of performing a certain way, and changing those habits is so difficult. So you bring that kind of outside perspective to somebody's management style and life for that week, and kind of gently remind them, hey, it can be a different way. And then just work on that one thing that week, and then another one thing the next week. At least that's how it seems to me.
Always work on one or two things. Yep. Research shows if we try to work on one or two things, there's about a 93% chance we'll make progress. When we add a third thing, it drops to 50. So, and anything. And one of the things I've always coached and teached is people come to a workshop. Of course, they're going to hear a lot of things. And then they walk out and they want to implement so many things. You know, after the sizzle evaporates, there's not much left. And I tell people, you're better off focusing on one thing, get it right. And sometimes it's look at where you're at. I did a small workshop for about 30 people, and they each had read the book. And one of the assignments was just pick a chapter that relates to you and talk about it. And there's a chapter in there called, you know, The Plate is Full. And you know, that was the column that most people picked, or the chapter. Yeah. I have a full plate. And, you know, in the book I talk about, we always have a full plate.
Right.
Scott Peck in the book World Less Traveled said, life is difficult. Once you accept that, it's not as difficult. I said, so don't sit here and exhaust yourself because you got a full plate. You're always going to have a full plate. Try to figure out what's the most biggest ingredient on the plate. Get that right. So, and it's interesting because you don't know which are people going to pick. An early person, early in their career, they picked the one about self-doubt.
Yeah.
And he talked about self-doubt or fear. Because, you know, one of the big things I write a lot about is change, and speak a lot about. And, you know, the first phase of change is usually I'm excited. I got a new job, got to do this, got to do that. I'm sort of excited about this change. Well, the second phase of change is doubt. Can I do it? Can I make it? Am I going to be successful? You know, I was talking to, I do these things. I went to the
we're losing our cell phone connection with you, Quinn. Are you still there, sir?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, much better now. Yeah. Hey, no, I just, I love the book. I love the idea of it. We're completely out of time, but I did want to say thank you for joining us this morning. No, it's not at all. The book is Sundays with Quint. It is available either at the website, sundayswithquint.com, or at the Bodacious Shops, or at Wahoo's, but, you know, you can go to Bodacious Books and buy it there. It's wonderful. I love the idea of this book, and I'm so glad you joined us with it this morning. Quint Studer, as always, thank you, sir, for the time.
All proceeds go to the Center for Civic Engagement locally, which is great.
No, that and outstanding use of the money for the book. Quinn Studer, again, thank you for what you've done for the community, and thank you for teaching us better leadership skills. I know I have personally benefited from it through LEAP, but thank you so much for the time this morning, sir.
All right. Love you, Andrew.
Oh, man, you're so sweet. Thank you so much. 6:53 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.